welcome to VG Cast. This is Paul, aka Daxter23Jack, and today I'm joined by Chris.
Hey.
Marcus.
Hey, y'all.
Grace.
You like Castlevania, don't you?
And finally, Javi.
What is a man?
Miserable pile of secrets.
It's true.
So, yeah, in case you couldn't get our clever references, today we are talking about 2010's Castlevania Lords of Shadow. And, yeah, I mean, this was one of Mercury Steam's first projects I heard of, at the very least. They've definitely gone on to work on better titles in my mind, Metroidvania, but that's probably spoiling things. So yeah, who wants to start us off about this game?
I mean, I guess I'll kick off because I chose it. I don't know, it came out, what, 2010 you said, Paul?
So yeah, 2010.
It's like 12 years old now. When it came out, I got it. I played through, I don't know, through the first maybe big boss, first Lords of Shadow that you get. And I don't know, I fell off for it for some reason, and it's always just been sitting on my shelf, like going, hey, play me. So kind of gave it a choice here, and that's why we are going through this weird 3D Castlevania game. It doesn't always feel like Castlevania.
But yeah, it feels more like God of War at some points.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't like God of War, so...
Oh, well, whoa, hey.
Nothing against God of War. It's just one of those franchises that's never clicked with me.
God of War is my dad.
Okay, I'm sorry. It never clicked with your dad.
I do like God of War, so I think the
being 10 years old, it definitely shows its age.
It does.
Yeah, I don't think liking or not liking God of War really helps you here, because if you like it, it's like, well, it's not as good as God of War. And if you dislike it, it's like, this is like a bad God of War.
You're right, there's no winning.
I don't know if it's a bad, it's like a mediocre God of War.
I'm curious, Chris. You said that you played it when it first came out and then bounced off of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I had a similar experience as well. Like, and, you know, I don't know if you guys remember, and I think the game still opens with the Kojima Productions logo, right?
It does.
Yeah.
Yep. He was producer on the game.
Yeah, and as far as I can tell, I don't really think that meant much. Like, I don't know if...
No,
Kojima was just like a consultant or what?
I feel like you ever see, like, every once in a while you get a movie like presented by Quentin Tarantino.
Yes.
That's what this felt like.
Yep, totally.
See, I feel like he might have, you know, when they're pitching the story, I feel like he might have been like, oh, you might want to do this, might want to do this. And they might have used some of the technology because, I mean, while it performs a little rough, it still looks really good for a 2010 game. So I can see a bit of his DNA maybe there, but definitely not in the gameplay.
Yeah, I could see him like overlooking maybe some of the cinematic cutscenes a little bit here and there. But I think the Kojima Productions angle is like by and large a marketing strategy. Like Hideo Kojima's version of Castlevania was kind of how they, you know, sold it. Even though that's so far from the truth. But yeah, like I have a similar experience, Chris, where like I was really excited about it, especially the Kojima angle on it. I love Castlevania, and I remember getting it and like maybe getting to like the third level or so and just getting kind of stuck. Actually, you know what? No, I think I pushed through to the first like big puzzle section and just... There had been enough times where like what I was supposed to do was not apparent, and yeah. I would just get stuck, and I just found that really frustrating, and I just was not clicking with the game. I wasn't having a very good time, and so yeah, I just dropped it. And it wasn't until like last year that I returned to it, and like for some reason I was in the right state of mind and everything worked and I totally understood what it was going for and didn't really get stuck on anything. I just truly enjoyed the game and like took all its mechanics like and ran with them. I don't know what happened, but from what I've heard from all you, it sounds like you experienced my first experience where it got kind of frustrating and wasn't that interesting.
For me, it was actually like totally the opposite of what you just said, because I actually played it back in like Steam said I played it in 2013, so that's what I'm going with. And I have like the Ultimate Edition with the DLC. I played all of it, DLC chapters. I remember enjoying it. Like, I remember really liking it. But when I played it this time, I did not enjoy really much of any of it. So I don't know what happened. I guess just the 10-year gap, like, played so many better games since then. I don't know, but it did not click with me this time, and I just got fed up on pretty much what you were talking about with the puzzles just being unclear and just so much of it just, like, it was a lot of times unclear where you're supposed to go to, like, the pieces of the environment that you can actually interact with didn't always light up like they're supposed to, that kind of thing, and it's just, like, it got annoying.
What about you, Marcus?
I don't know. I guess I'm probably a little bit in between. I felt like it was a pretty middle-of-the-road sort of game. The combat itself was clunkier than I would want it to be if it's trying to ape the God of War style. The climbing mechanics really felt like... So, you know, this game feels like something that started development after they played God of War 2 on PS2. So much of the game, the movement, the way levels are set out, feels like a PS2 game. But then, you know, this is a 2010 game, so it almost feels like near the end of development, they're like, oh man, did you guys play Uncharted 2? Yeah, I played Uncharted 2. Let's do a little bit more with our climbing stuff, but they didn't really, like, tighten it up well enough. And so Grace's complaints, you know, where it's just like, hey, you're really expecting to be able to climb or do something here, and the little prompt, the little shiny that says you can do it, just didn't quite like activate, and so you jump and you fall to your death when you know you really shouldn't have. And so it's just a lot of moments like that where you have like a lot of cool, like, hey, they really put some thought into this climbing bit, but then it didn't work, or like there's a lot of, you know, a lot of moves, a lot of combos. It still doesn't feel great to play, and the combos themselves don't really seem to do too much. So it just feels like, do they need more time on the game? I'm not sure. But it is one of those things where I would have thought that the sequel would have, like, oh yeah, they'll nail it for that. But I hear that's not the case. So
yeah, I mean, like, I think case in point, the first boss battle at, what is it, the Lake of Oblivion or whatever, the Ice Lake.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah, no. The stone golem rises up out of the lake, and you have to climb up this guy via, like, something like Shadow of the Colossus. I felt like that was another huge inspiration for this game. And, you know, take down the runes on his body before you're finally able to take it down. But it's just, like, every time you try climbing, like, the climbing mechanics would be clunky, but then it would try to shake you off, like, every 3 seconds. So I felt like I was getting nowhere. Just always had to hold on, or I'd be violently shaken off and like thrown on the ice.
I'm glad there wasn't stamina for that, because yeah, I knew that same struggle. I was like, oh, thank God. I almost feel like maybe they did try stamina at first, and then they realized, oh no, everyone will hate us if we do that.
Yeah, and even sometimes like the hold RT to like hold on or whatever the button is on PC, like if you don't hit it just right, it shakes you off anyway. So. It's like it's a little finicky with how it is. I did finally get the timing down on those sequences, though, because they happen later in the game, too. There's like a cool flying dragon fight where you're kind of fighting it that way. I finally did figure out the timing on it.
Yeah, but I feel like in general, like mechanic-wise and kind of my feelings about the game, maybe I'm just... drinking the Haterade, but I really want to like this game. Like the concept, the story, I feel like it jives with me, but I just, the gameplay gets in the way of it. And I feel so bad. I just kept wanting, I kept forcing myself, like, maybe I'll like it, maybe I'll like it. And that's exactly what happened my first time around. And this time around, I was on the same mind path, but I kind of gave up more sooner than I did with my first playthrough. Just kind of trying to accept, like, hey, this is probably not my piece of cake. You gave it a shot, sort of thing.
That's fair.
And yeah, speaking of the story, I guess, Chris, what is the story here?
Gabriel Belmont, his wife has been killed, and he is very angry about it. And he hears that maybe he can find a way to resurrect her. So he goes on this quest, meets up with some other member of his order who kind of tells him, yes, you can definitely do this. And they kind of team
Sean up. Connery.
I mean, that's who it definitely is. It Sean Connery? Because it definitely it sounds
no,
like.
No, it's not Sean Connery. It's Patrick Stewart.
It's Patrick Stewart, yeah.
No, but it looks like Sean Connery. I'm not.
Yeah, it does. Does look like him, yeah.
He looks too much like Sean Connery to take him seriously as Patrick Stewart. I need to say that, like, the voice just does not fit. You're looking at him and you're expecting, you know, this, like, rough Scottish voice to come out, and it's freaking Patrick Stewart, like, you know, it's just like Moon with Flash or something.
It's just, like, prim and proper accent and very posh.
I think it was weird having Patrick Stewart, like, read, like, the description of your journey when, like, he's not there.
that was weird.
Dull and dry too.
Because it sounds like at some parts, like, because like at that first part where they split off, like he meets up with Zobek, who is the Patrick Stewart, Sean Connery dude. They split up. Like, all right, I'm gonna go do this. You're gonna go do that. But then he's still giving like the overview, and he's talk like it's like he's stalking you. Like following,
which I think
behind.
He is.
Yeah,
he is. Yeah. Which I mean, like, if that was the direction they were going, I mean, like, he turns out to be what, Lord of the Necromancers?
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah, he's like he's the third dude.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm gonna get this, and I'm gonna get the power for myself, and
I thought one of the weaker things, or like maybe one of the more dissonant things with the that narration versus the actual story that they give you, is that the narration seems to, you know, imply like, oh yeah, Gabriel's given up his humanity as he goes along this quest, like a real, I don't know, like Arthas from Warcraft sort of situation that they wanted to sort of, you know, talk about his fall from grace. But they don't really show that when you're actually playing the game, and even in the cutscenes in the game. He does some you know, fucked up things here and there, but most of the time it's not even things he's actively doing. It's just things that sort of happen to happen around him. So, like, I don't understand, you know, was that narration something that was supposed to be a framework for the game and they just weren't able to, like, fill out the cutscenes to really deliver on that? Or was it a sort of reverse where they're like, we need this narration to, like, tell people what the hell is going on, because like otherwise like this game's just a mess, it's really disconnected.
I think that what I got out of it was kind of them telling you through that, like, what Gabriel is going through. So I guess it is kind of what you were saying, where like they didn't really convey that through the game itself, they had to have a character tell you about it. But I think if anywhere, it is reflected in how violent the game gets and how violent Gabriel's moves get, especially his finishers. So, like, maybe in that it's saying it. But I did kind of like, in a general sense, the storyline and how Gabriel is becoming more and more disillusioned with the order that he believed in and just getting really frustrated with it. And then ultimately where the game ends, I really love. I think that it's unfortunate that it's like a post-credits scene or something, or maybe is that what, Paul, you were talking about, where you have to like beat the DLC to get that true ending?
Yeah, I mean, like, hopefully we're at the point where nobody makes spoilers, but yeah, basically I was reading and I was just like, I think the normal game ends with you fighting Satan and then yes. Gabriel and earns his place in heaven, and then you're just like, wait, what?
Not and then really. You basically, that's like he fight he is given the power to fight Satan. I don't know if it's necessarily that he is like ascended to heaven.
Yeah, he gets it on lease. It's a bar. Yeah. He gets to borrow it. Yeah.
Because then he's because the ending is like his wife is like, no, you can't come with me, but you saved humanity. You're cursed now to like live on Earth and do good things. So he's kind of cast back to humanity at the end of the game.
And in the DLC, so basically, I guess one thing we should mention: the Lords of Shadow used to be the heads of Gabriel's order. But basically, they got around to ridding the world of evil. But then, when they tried to ascend to heaven, they left behind the evil parts of themselves, and their evil parts of themselves, or their shades, became the Lords of Shadow. And basically, once you killed the Lords of Shadow, it unleashed an enemy, like something like the Old One, and Gabriel has to give up his humanity and become a vampire in order to defeat this guy, right?
So is that what happens in the other two episodes? Because like that's not explained at all in the.
Yeah, and I guess just to add on to that is that not so much the DLC bit, but you know, in the main game, there's that like post credit scene where you're in modern day and where Gabriel's all fucked up. I assume the vampire from the DLC. So I think that's the only bit where really the DLC sort of connects the dots, just gives you more context around what's going on. Why is he around for modern day?
Doing. I don't know if you have seen an interview with the vampire, but it's kind of a take on that Lestat thing where, you know, you see him in modern days and he's like he's been starving, but he can't die because he's a vampire. But also like, Gabriel is Dracula, right? Like he has become Dracula, which I love that twist so much. I love it so much.
It's really awesome. And I mean, honestly, if it was really Dracula in modern days, he would be, you know, a silver haired teenage boy in Japan. But unfortunately, we don't get that version. But Gabriel's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think they're in London, right? Like the modern day scene at the end?
I'm not 100% sure, but Lords of Shadow 2 literally starts right there. Like you jump out the window and then the gameplay starts with you walking on the street in the rain, and it's really cool.
And it goes downhill from there though?
I guess. I never got too far, so I can't really truly vouch for the game, but I think it probably gets more hate than it deserves. I don't know. But I don't know what I'm talking about, so I can't really say for sure. But I think Lords of Shadow 2 is interesting, and I would like to spend more time playing it. It leans into a lot of the Dracula tropes. Like you literally turn into a big swarm of rats to get around. You turn into a wolf. The only thing that's weird is that they like introduce like unnecessary stuff like stealth. Like, why are you Dracula stealthing around and there's big, like, mechs everywhere in, like, the first level? Like, the first level is particularly... It's as if they put the Frankenstein level from the first game as the intro to the second one. So it's kind of, from what I understand, from what I've seen on YouTube, like, it has the worst beginning, which will turn off a lot of people immediately.
No, but it sounds really ambitious, and I feel like if the gameplay was better, I would have loved to have seen the direction Lords of Shadow 2 was going in, even if it was ultimately less than successful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so granted, I know Chris wasn't the biggest fan of Mercury Steam's latest foray with Metroid Dread, but I don't know, I feel like there's actually like the people on the team, they have like a creative direction, and I feel like it's great. It just sometimes I feel like the writing team doesn't it's kind of what Marcus and Grace were saying earlier, like, you know, the gameplay doesn't lend to that. It feels like they're totally like separate dimensions.
I don't think, like, with Mercury Steam's work, I would say their art direction is top-notch. Like, Lords of Shadow, even with how old it is, I think looks spectacular, especially on PC. It looks so good. And then Metroid Dread, for being a Switch game, and when it's running at 60 frames per second, it just looks really, really great. And the animations, like, oh my gosh, during the boss fights when you're getting those really slick, what are they called, like, parry kills, like, oh man, those are so freaking rad. So in terms of art direction, I think Mercury Steam has got it going on. They're like, boss designs are kind of hit and miss. Sometimes they hit and I think they really nail it, but they are kind of strict about how you play them. I guess they don't give you a lot of options when you're playing their games. Like, they want you to figure out exactly what you're supposed to do, which I know a lot of people don't care for. But I think storytelling, you're right. Storytelling is probably their weakest link. They don't really prioritize that. I was going to point out that it's interesting that they've handled both Castlevania and Metroid, but the Castlevania games that they made were not Metroidvanias. Like, these are classic Castlevania, like, level-based.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
I mean, isn't there a little bit of Metroidvania in there where you could go back to the earlier levels once you got some of those abilities and
something?
But I just, like, narrative-wise, I never really felt the, like, compelled to do that. It didn't seem to make sense. Like, why would he be going back?
Yeah, that was more for, like, collectibles and stuff, right? Like, you could unlock different areas. But it was also, you had to select that level to go back and do that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what you really get is like more trinkets to increase your health meter or your shadow and light meter or whatever. So, like, it's just like getting yourself a little bit stronger.
Gotcha.
I mean, Mirror of Fate is it's not necessarily that exploring portion, but you do have like an open castle there that you kind of go through. But it's much more simplistic than, like, say something like a Symphony of the Night or any of the other ones that, you know, on the DS.
What's crazy is that Mirror of Fate is like required reading. Like, if you just go straight to Lords of Shadow 2, you missed out on like important plot.
Because it focuses on Gabriel's son, and you don't even, like, there's no mention, I think, in Lords of Shadow that he even has a son.
Yeah,
how old is this kid?
Well, it turns out that his wife... So he was out, like, crusading or whatever when his wife was sick or something. I don't know. She was pregnant.
Living his best life.
Like, he got her pregnant before he left. So she gave birth to his son, and he never knew about it. That's what I think is the story. It's been a minute since I looked up the full story of Lords of Shadow.
I mean, that kid should be like dead as dicks by the time the sequel happens. So did he like?
Well, no. So Mirror of Fate takes place during, like, it's not too long after Lords of Shadow.
You're talking. So it's Mirror of Fate's where the sun is important, not Lords of Shadow 2. Got it.
Well, no, because Lords of Shadow 2, it is important because Trevor Belmont becomes Alucard. Because Gabriel is Dracula, Trevor is his son. He becomes Alucard, and that's where it plays in Lords of Shadow.
When he, like, I think Trevor is, you know, following in his dad's footsteps, hunting vampires and beasts and all that stuff. And so, like, Trevor goes after Dracula, and then Gabriel kills him, and then after he's killed him, realizes it was his son. And so he uses his blood to bring him back, and that's when he becomes Alucard. I think this happens in the 3DS game.
Got it. Wow.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
No, and like the conceit of that is interesting. Just like, hey, this is why the Belmonts have this kind of like this duty throughout generation after generation to take down Dracula, because Dracula was originally a Belmont. Just the conceit of that is so interesting. But I feel like like you said, they don't even bring up the sun in this. So I was kind of disappointed about that as well.
Sure.
Well, I mean, they, like, by the end of this, like outside of that cutscene, right? Like, if you don't watch through the credits, you don't even really get the idea that Gabriel has become Dracula,
right?
Because he's, you know, you get the ending where he gets to talk to his wife and then go back to Earth, go back to being, you know, on the human plane. That's kind of where it ends.
I think he screams at heaven too, right? Like at the end,
he does. Yeah, because he's a little angry.
Just like Kratos, yeah. But even if you do like wait through the credits and see that cutscene, there's not really any explanation of what the hell happened. You're like, wait, what?
Yeah,
we're in modern day, and you're a vampire.
I took it more as like a MCU teaser at the end. Like this is this is what's gonna happen in the next one. Like, okay, that's cool. And I knew Lords of Shadow took place in modern day.
Mm-hmm. Lords of Shadow teased Morbius years in advance.
No. That's why it was canceled. Konami did us a favor.
Well, that's an interesting, like, when I was playing through it, I'm like, what a different time for Konami, right? Like, this game looks expensive. You know, this game looks like they just really poured the cash in. They got Patrick Stewart in there. Just the graphics are top notch. They got Kojima Productions looped in. They marketed the hell out of it. It's like Konami would never do this these days. They're just not interested.
Well, and need to bring it back. Like all that money thrown in there, but also it being such a shift for like the franchise itself seems like another layer of that gamble. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say they had the two 3D Castlevanias on the PS2 that I don't remember making much of an impact. So like to triple down after those, you know, didn't really make waves. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah. And I mean, I felt like this one did pretty all right, right? Like it sold a couple mil.
I think so. Yeah.
So I mean,
it was a hit.
It seemed like it paid off for them. And I guess that's why two was greenlit, but I mean, I'm sure there's some articles on what happened with 2 of why that didn't quite come together like the first one.
Yeah, I mean, and critically, like, Lords of Shadow, like, the original scored well. Like, it did fairly well. I think Metacritic is holding, like, you know, mid-80s for the PS3 and the 360s version. So,
Dude, I don't know what platform all of you played it on, but... like on PS3, it is gnarly looking, and it runs at like a really
inconsistent environment. I was talking with Grace about this. It ran like complete shit. It was like chugging along, and I was just like, I should have bought this when it was on sale for the PC. It was so stupid not to do that.
Yeah, so like I started it on PC, and it looks great with like the graphics turned all the way up, and you don't want to play it in ultra widescreen because like the game looks great, but once you get to any cutscene, it just blows up the 16:9 video to fill your ultra wide, so you lose like significant chunks of the top and bottom of the frame.
Oh jeez.
It's an interesting question too, Javi, on the older versions, because I played the 360 version, but I played it on a Series X, which does some of that like hardware acceleration on it.
I felt like we got more frames from Series X. Right?
Yeah, I didn't feel like it was, you know, busted. And it looks great. Like, I thought it looked phenomenal while it was playing, and it didn't really feel like it was chugging at all.
That's cool.
So, yeah, and for it, like, I probably should have popped it into the 360 just to give it a shot there to see, like, what the difference is. But, if it's anything like the PS3 version Paul was suffering through, I'm glad I did not.
I mean, Paul, if it makes you feel any better, I'm such a stubborn PlayStation guy that, like, and console person, really, that, like, even though I got, you know, pretty far in the PC version, I was like, I'm not getting trophies, though, so I'm going to go to, I'm going to get the PS3 version going, and I suffered through the entire game on PS3 just so I could get some trophies.
That's the way to live.
With these Steam achievements.
Yeah. Oh, Steam achievements. Yeah. It's not the same.
Yeah, they don't really mean anything.
Yeah, and I don't want to sit at my desk while playing a game for hours and hours. I'd rather sit at my, on my couch.
Fair enough. Gosh. Sorry. No, just get me. I've lost the thought and tried. Nope, I got it back. graphics-wise. I'm with you, Javi. Like, for the most part, I feel like I'm with you. There's a lot of, like, entries into new areas that look pretty stunning, and just some sequences that, like, I think really held up. But boy, have you seen Maria's model up close and some of those cutscenes? That was, ouch. I couldn't even see facial features. It was not good.
She's rough.
You know how I know Kojima Productions was not involved is that all the cutscenes were pre-rendered. So like if they were done in engine, like the PC version would look so nice. But yeah, like all the cutscenes looked just awful. I don't remember specifically Maria's model though, so I'm gonna look that up. Oop, I wrote Mario.
That worked.
She's like, it's jarring too, especially in scenes where she's talking to Gabriel, because Gabriel I think looks very good.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of the textures aren't great, but
oh yeah, Maria, yeah, not that great.
So just a tiny story thing. Maria fucked up not telling Gabriel about their kid. Wow. Mm-hmm. She is an awful
Well, I don't think they ever, well, no, because he killed her.
Something to do with the devil mask, and Sean Connery put it on him or something.
Yeah, that wasn't clear how he controlled him to do some of that stuff.
Okay, so here.
When he's sleeping, he puts it on him?
Yeah.
Per the Wikipedia entry for Mirror of Fate, prior to the events of Lords of Shadow, Gabriel Belmont makes love to his wife, Marie, before accompanying the Order to slay a Lycan. While he's gone, Marie gives birth, surrounded by Pan, the weird, creepy dude, and the other heads of his order. She names the baby Trevor before the order takes the baby away. So he, like, maybe she just doesn't say, like, hey, like, they stole him. Or it's maybe when he comes back, that's, he's under the, you know, the influence of, because he does, he's the one that kills her. Maybe that's when he was under the influence of it. So he does learn about Trevor at some point, but
after he kills him. No,
I will just say that, like, I am such an easy target for like gothic horror or gothic anything. And so like, that's why Bloodborne's one of my favorite games of all time. Also, it doesn't hurt that it's a really excellent game, but, like I grew up watching like Bram Stoker's Dracula with like my dad, and I love that stuff. I love vampires. I love just gothic stuff. The Batman's really cool for that as well. But that element, I felt, especially with vampires and that those kind of castles and stuff, they really, really buried the lead in Lords of Shadow. You have to like get halfway or more through the game before you start getting the really good stuff.
Yeah, you're fighting like goblins and shitty lichens for half the game.
Uh-huh.
Once you're just get like to the in, castle,
like,
though,
rocky like rivers and like mountains and stuff. Until then, but yeah,
I do like the bog.
The bog. You like the bog? I think, like, Paul was complaining about the bog.
I was going to say, like, I do like the castles and stuff like that. Like, I love what you're talking about. I love the environmental design, like in general of this game. That's the one thing that really still stands out. At least, but yeah, I also just really like the bog. Like, I don't know, just like swampy dead trees, all that shit just speaks to me on some personal level.
I mean, it's one of those things where like it seems innocuous, but like when you say it out loud, like there's a bog, there's the trek to the castle, there's the cliffs and the mountains and all this stuff. Like, all of those, you can find a version of them in the classic 8-bit Castlevania games. It's like, oh, okay, that is a part of this franchise reinterpreted for this title. So I really appreciate that. But Chris, I think you were going to say that, like, once you do get to that gothic castles and vampires and all that stuff, like, ooh, I think it hits really hard. Yeah, I think it's great.
It's really cool. Like, it's a little bit, and this might just be the setting I have my tea, it's a little bit too light for my tastes.
Sure.
It would have like a little bit darker, but also if you made it any darker, like you wouldn't be able to see the enemies.
yeah.
Like very cool vibe to everything, especially once you get there.
Like I remember last year when I was revisiting this and just getting super into it. Like I was like, I've been meaning to get a 3D printer. I think I'm waiting till we move where I have my office and I can like really get into it. But like I like this game enough that I seriously want to look into what I need to do to make my own battle cross. Like I think that thing is so freaking cool. And I want to have the chain and everything. I think they sell them on Etsy, but I kind of want to make my own. I think that's such a cool weapon. Like it's a crucifix that has a freaking chain from Castlevania in it. It's all spiky. I don't know. It's very, very cool.
Yeah. I like that. Like, you know, you upgrade it over time, kind of like you do in, you know, the original Castlevanias, but you always have like the good version of the whip. It's never like, here's the shitty, like leather whip that you start out with in the original games. It's like, no, here's like the cool metal whip. And you're going to upgrade it over time to give you like more power and be able to do different environmental things with it.
Yeah. And even though it's a little, I guess, clunky, I guess is a good word to describe it, and like not nearly as fluid as games these days, but the traversal stuff with the whip, except for moments where like you swear you press the button and it should have shot it out, that's really annoying, but when it does work, I did really enjoy it. And I also enjoyed the little tiny bit of exploration where like you attach your whip and it's like, okay, I can see that the way forward is up. But if I go down and jump out, like there'll be like hidden paths here and there. And like that kind of extra exploration that's optional was appreciated.
And there's almost always something down there too. Like it's, you know, whether it be an orb for your health or for your magic, like there's almost always something for you to do that extra exploration.
Yeah. I got unusually into this game last year, where like I was doing the thing where you go back to old levels with your new abilities and 100% them, you know, and I was planning to like start a new game and play on the hardest difficulty. I was just really, really enjoying it, and I don't know why, but it just clicked.
I did have to lower the difficulty on that final boss. When you fight Satan, he is a pain in the ass.
from what to what?
It was like on whatever the normal difficulty was to like baby mode. It was still a pain in the ass.
I
thought Satan was like super easy when they like really just start giving you the spirit powers and stuff. And even before that, I felt like I had more issues with the like other Lords of Shadow than him, or even some of those sub bosses were a little. Little fuck you with some of their moves, but yeah, I don't know. I guess I want to find out like what part of that Satan fight was super hard, except for that. Oh God, we had to switch back and forth.
Yeah, that was where it was, and I just kept like it was just draining my energy, and
it was really hard to like because the way that Simon moves, like it's hard to like gauge when you're standing in red or blue.
Yep.
Or when to switch, yeah.
And then, like, if you get
Simon
knocked out
or
of it,
Gabriel?
Gabriel, my bad.
And if you get knocked out of it, like, you basically have to redo that whole sequence over again.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They only do it, like, once, though. Like, once where it was hard to switch back and forth. The other ones where you're just sort of like, oh, yeah, blue to avoid that, red to avoid that, was simple. So, it really felt like another example of, here's this cool idea, watch us fuck it up.
I forget, never mind.
I do want to ask Grace a question about the bog. The Chupacabra, was that good too? Was that a real boggy thing to happen?
That was not good. That dispelling panic. That's all it was.
I thought they'd give us something, right?
Yeah, it's like here's something to drag out the game a little longer. That's all it was to me.
Yeah,
like his design, like he looks, you know, like suitably creepy and gross. Like I do like that, but everything else, like, no.
The voice. The voice.
God, that was horrible.
Yeah.
Like, just get that trash out of here.
I was going to say, yeah, I just remembered the bosses. I have two bosses that stuck out as, like, pain points for me. One was the second golem, the one that was throwing shit at you, and you had to, like, time
it. Oh, you had to catch it and throw it back?
Yeah, that was so unclear.
Yeah.
And I actually did need to look that up. I was like, okay, what am I doing? what am I doing wrong? I had no idea, like, that I needed to catch it or how to do that.
It was like a really brief flash of the prompt. So, like, when you're sort of concentrating, you know, in the background more on the boss, it's real easy to miss. Yeah, that fight took me some time, too.
Yeah, it was a whole lot of, like, I'm not going to look it up. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to stick through it. And I just, like, spent, like, maybe 40 minutes of just banging my head against the wall. I'm like, no, I'm looking this up. I hate this.
So before we move on, go ahead.
Oh, sure. Well, I was just going to mention the other boss, but if you wanted to weigh in on the golem guy.
No. I just wanted to say, speaking of looking stuff up, Grace, did you want to talk about your experience with that puzzle that just made you uninstall the game?
I don't know how I could put it into words. It's like how frustrating it was. It was in Chapter 7, the electric puzzle, so, like, where you have that thing in the middle that you, like, spin it around, and it has those four, I don't know what they're called, it's like the little posts on it that shoot electricity or whatever. Mm-hmm. You have to go around and, like, punch the buttons on the floor to, like, change the flow of electricity. And then in the middle of it, you have to fight the stupid spider. Like, I got to where you fight the spider. I beat it. No problem. And then after that, it's just, like, I finally figured out that you could go to, like, the left or right side of the room, and there's, like, a moving platform that goes over there. I finally saw the platform, got on it, and I hit the button that's over there. And when I got back on the platform, like, the way that you come in to, like, jump on the platform in the first place, that had an electric thing going through it. So there was, like, I would have had to go back, hit that button, hit the button on the right side again, jump on the platform, go back, and figure out which of the other two or three buttons that I have to hit. Go hit the button on the right and not have it blocked off. And I was just like, no, you know what?
Yeah, I get that. I think I did the exact same things, and I was grateful there was only four buttons, so I just tried each one, because I got to that same point and had no idea how that puzzle was working, so I was just hoping any combination would eventually get the job done, and yeah, it did. Yeah. I don't think I expected the solution that they gave me either. I was like, oh, I was looking over there, like, I wasn't even paying attention.
Yeah, I was just, like, slamming, like, before I realized I could even get to the other side of the room, I was just, like, slamming those first three buttons, just like, why don't any of these do anything?
Yeah, no, that's fair. What was that other boss battle that was giving you trouble, Javi?
Oh, yeah, so it was pretty early on, and I believe everything after that, all the way through the end, went much more smoothly, but it's the Black Knight that was protecting the girl that you kill. That boss fight with his, like, black goo just kind of shooting around the field while he's walking around, and you have to constantly dodge it. I think I was playing on hard, not the hardest, but the one in between normal and hard, the hardest. And, like, that fight went on forever. I'm just, like, trying to not get hit by these, you know, little splattery things he puts on the floor that chase you around, and then trying to get a hit in here and there. And it took a really, really long time. It was really exhausting. I think I died once, but, like, the fact that it took such a long time to, like, finish him was really, I don't know, it was exhausting.
Yeah, it's not crazy. It's definitely not difficult. It's just really time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
like, a lot of the bosses are, like, they're, like, not bullet sponges, but damage sponges. Like, they just take so much. You can combo them, but I think, Marcus, you mentioned, like, the combos don't seem to really do anything. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, yeah, a lot of those bosses are just like, they take forever, and then when they add in a mechanic like that, Javi, they're rough.
Yeah, And I mean, I think Mercury Steam has grown a lot with, like, when I think about Metroid Dread, like, every boss encounter there, if you're playing it properly, you're going to destroy them, like, in maybe two or three cycles. If you can, like, hit your counters right and use your strongest weapons on them and dodge all their attacks, like, it makes you feel like Samus, where you're, like, just the seasoned badass that can just destroy everything they throw at you. And, like, that's a really great feeling. But I don't know if there's a faster way to take down this Black Knight guy other than to just grind away for, like, 20 minutes. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree on that fight. I think that, for me, the biggest issue was that goo. Like, yeah, it eventually stopped, but there's two chasing you. So now the other one's coming. Like, you never really gave you that opportunity to get a good amount of hits in on the boss. So yeah, it just became another one of those things where it's like, all right, it's repetition, not super hard. But when you always got to, you know, make the same move, dodge the same way, eventually you're just going to make a mistake because I'm tired of this. Like, I just want to move on with my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think what else to talk about. Like, the music in this game, like, I honestly didn't think anything stood out, but...
I didn't either. It was just background music.
It's fine. Like, it's just orchestral music that kind of... It fits the setting.
It is kind of a bummer, though, because it is... Yeah. Castlevania is pretty famous for its music.
Would have liked the actual theme, maybe, to show up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah, a lot of it felt Lord of the Rings light to me, where it's just like, yeah, this is fantasy. And you want it to be big and epic on like the end of the game, but yeah, nothing really memorable. I think it did its job, though. Like, I felt like it painted the mood well enough wherever I was in the game.
Yeah, I agree.
I think, like, I look at this trilogy, I guess, as like a really fun, strange, like experimental, like take on the Castlevania lore, right? They literally take characters and do something completely different with them. So like I'm glad it exists. I think it was a cool experiment. I don't think they ever need to like pick up where it left off or continue it, but I think they're cool. I like these games a lot. I look at them fondly.
Yeah, for all my gripes replaying this game, I do want to get around at some point to playing Mirror of Fate and Lords of Shadow 2. Like, even if I don't finish Lords of Shadow 2, like, if it's... I'm sure it's not as bad as everybody says it is, but if I don't click with it, like, I at least tried it, because I haven't touched 2, and I think I played, like, maybe 20 minutes of Mirror of Fate, like, at most. So.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's not a lot of games...
Like a 2D?
Yeah, it's 2.5D. Yeah.
Oh, 2.5D. So it's a little bit closer to their Samus Returns.
Yeah, it was originally a 3DS game. Yeah. So yeah, it's exactly like that. It's like Samus Returns on the 3DS. They did eventually port it to other consoles. I think there's like Mirror Fate HD or whatever.
I think it's on Steam too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Here's a little note that I'm seeing on the Wikipedia page. Lords of Shadow is the, at least at the time, was the best-selling Castlevania game.
Right. That's crazy, huh?
So that's why it got, the 2.5D sequel, Mirror of Fate, and then Lords of Shadow 2.
Crazy. So you said at the time, was there one that sold better?
Well, I don't know if it's like, it's... You know, I don't know when this was last updated. This says that the game also became the best-selling Castlevania game. So I don't know if anything since then has passed it.
I doubt it. I think that was, like, the biggest swing Konami has made with this franchise. So it's probably still the king.
Well, that and remember, Konami doesn't make any swings anymore.
Right, yeah, right. Fair.
But hey, Castlevania was in Smash. That started a revolution. For what was the most recent Castlevania in like 2019? Was it still Was it still the 2013 one?
Well, they released like the two collections, the anniversary collection. So there's the anniversary collection, which is like Castlevania through maybe is it Castlevania 4, Super Castlevania, those, and then and then the is it the GBA games? I think is the second one.
Yep. Yeah, the Advance Collection. Yeah, I think they should have. Yeah, they should have had the DS games in there.
Agreed.
Hopefully they port those as well, because they're excellent.
Yeah, they probably need a little more work, but...
I know some of the touchscreen elements in, I think, Portrait of Ruin...
Dawn of Sorrow, and, you have to draw the pentagram to seal away your bosses, otherwise they come back to life.
Yeah, I don't know how, like, I don't... know how you get prompt. Around those, but yeah, you'd have probably made like a button, like a series of buttons that you press or whatever.
Sure.
It would be nice though to get those, especially.
Speaking of button prompts, yeah, I felt like that was an issue with Lords of Shadow. There's a whole lot of
lots of button prompts.
Yeah.
Lots of mashing, and then do this within like. They're not consistent either, right? It's like mash X, and then it's like, oh, now we have the circle, and now hit A when it gets into the circle. Like threw every single type of, and this part of my problem with Metroid Dread is we're going to use every aspect of the controller. We're going to use every, like, do everything. And I think, Kavi, you said earlier, like, they're like, just like, figure it out. It's like, there's a lot of trial and error in it, and it's like a game like this, you don't necessarily need trial and error because it's pretty straightforward. It's a, you know, it's a hacker. You just go and beat the shit out of people. So, but I don't know. I enjoyed playing it. I'm glad that we did. I'm sad that you guys didn't maybe enjoy it, but that's we've learned that's how this goes. We've done this for a year. Sometimes we don't like the games.
I think it's the fun of this. Like, even if, you know, like Death Stranding didn't hit for most of you, Chris, it seemed you appreciated it more on a second viewing.
While it like my OCD went into overdrive with that game, I really enjoyed it. Like, looking back on it, maybe it's just rosy introspection, but I think I had a really good time with that game. But just in regards to Castlevania, I just wish they would have ripped off Devil May Cry's combat as opposed to God of War's.
I see that. I understand why they went with God of War. Like, it, like, Castlevania is like, it's 2D God of War. Like, it's very, like, the original games are, and which this is, these are modeled after, are very, like, slow. Like, the combat is, it's not a fast action game. Everything is methodical in the original Castlevania and, you know, Simon's Quest and Castlevania 3. I get why you would want more fast paced, like, more Bayonetta or Devil May Cry style, but, and they didn't necessarily ape it super great here. They didn't ape the God of War stuff super great, but
yeah, I would remove all of the quick time stuff. Like, none of it makes the game better in any way. But I with the combat that the game does have, I did I was able to find the combos, like the whip attacks and like the, I don't know, I guess like the amount of swings that lead into like these devastating finishers. I had like old faithfuls, you know, like the ones that are like, these are the moves that I can always rely on and I know how to execute, and they got me through the game just fine. And I did enjoy just figuring that out. I know that I feel like the game has like way more moves than most people will ever experiment with or try to execute, because a lot of them are very specific, but for what it has, I thought it was serviceable. I enjoyed it.
It absolutely does. Like, I unlocked several combos, but I pretty much just spammed, like, the one where you hold Y and the one where you, like, hold X to start a heavy combo. Like, those are the two that I used the most, even though I had several other ones. Mm-hmm. It's like, why bother trying? Like, these work.
Yeah.
I think my closing thoughts on the game, it's an okay game. I there's really not too much more for me to add to what I've already said. You know, it feels like a PS2 game in spirit that they tried to reinterpret in the PS3 era. And I think it has a lot of interesting ideas. I just feel like there's just too much of that PS2, like, games don't always do what you want them to do. It really felt, you know, like nowadays when someone kills you in a game, it's like, oh, it's hacks, cheats. Like, I felt like the game was cheating me. I made that jump. You know, I finished that combo. But, even putting all that aside, I feel like games like this don't come out too often anymore. These big gambles that aren't, like, just a multiplayer games as a service sort of thing. And so it's really nice to go back and revisit one of these.
Mm-hmm.
Hear, hear.
I loved it.
But yeah, and I'm glad you did. Did anybody else have any closing thoughts on the game?
I think I put mine out there.
Okay. And that's Lords of Shadow. Gabriel should have impaled more people, and his middle name should have been Vladimir.
Okay.
There is lots of impaling once you get to the vampire section. You can impale them often.
Yeah, what is it with the Lord of Shadow, the vampiric one? You kill her with a church steeple or something, right?
Oh yeah,
that's good. Yeah,
that was great. Yeah, it seemed like overkill, but it worked.
Yeah, that was like ridiculous. Like everything else, I mean, it's a bit ridiculous, all of it. But like this is like straight up like anime. Like they're flying through the air. He's like drop kicking her into a steeple.
So cool.
What's our next game?
I guess that's me. So I've got five things here. I'm just gonna do the first four, and if like all of them sound terrible, then I'll throw the fifth one in there. But I'm also gonna say I don't know if I've suggested some of these already or if somebody else has, and we like everybody else just like shot it down. I don't remember. So if like one of these is just like terrible and nobody wants to touch it, just remind me. I'll put it like on the anti list somewhere. Yeah. Anyway, so Metal Gear Solid 2, Star Wars The Force Unleashed, and I should kind of point out that would be the PC 360 PS3 version. The Switch version that just came out is based on the Wii version. I don't know how much different that is. So
the best one.
The last two are Catherine Full Body and Metro 2033, and I'll say the redo version, Redux, however you say that.
Okay, so I've put all of these in the VG Club text channel, so you can actually just use an emote to vote, maybe like a thumbs up or something. I thought that might be a good way to do this.
Like in Discord or on Twitter?
In Discord, right? Discord. Yeah.
Okay.
Hobby's getting fancy.
I'll also say, out of all of these, Metal Gear Solid 2 is the only one I've already played. So, like, if it was any of the other three, I would be going in just as blind as anybody else who hasn't played it.
Grace, I have a question.
Yep.
If I know you just said the opposite, but if we do The Force Unleashed, I would love to do it on my Switch and play the Wii one that just got ported. Would that be acceptable?
I mean, I'd be down for that, but like
I have played it, the original on PS3, so I do have that in my brain, but I would love to play the Switch one if we do this.
Yeah, like if so I guess that would be like all of us are playing the Switch version.
Oh no, no. I won't enforce that everybody needs to, but I'm just saying that Hobby's I would like play to play that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that would be fine. I just, like I said, I don't know how much different it is from the other versions.
All right, I'm voting Star Wars.
Watch Star Wars lose.
So I'm trying to decide between Star Wars and Metro 2033. God, it's hard.
I feel like you should do Star Wars, just based on how collectibles work for you. Star Wars are a lot on the more on the surface. You don't have to really fuck around. While Metro, you're going through every barrel, every box, just to find equipment.
True. And then, of course, I'm going to hoard the bullets that are actually good because they're mm-hmm. money.
Exactly.
Just going to use the cheap ones the entire game.
You don't want to be broke now. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to push one over the other. Like I said, I have played a little bit of Force Unleashed. I don't remember how far I got because I got stuck on one of the bosses. I remember that much. I don't know how far in it was.
But Grace, you should vote for the one you want to play, because you could change things here.
I mean, kind of.
You could create a problem. Yeah.
I could either make a tie, or I could,
mm-hmm.
or I could vote for Metal Gear Solid, which nobody else has voted for, and then that would just really.
Yeah, I don't know if this is going to stay in the podcast, but for audio listeners, we got 2 votes for Star Wars, 1 vote for Catherine, and 1 vote for Metro. No votes for Metal Gear.
I just got done playing Metal Gear Solid 3, so I think I'm good on that front, though Metal Gear Solid 2, when I did play it, held out really well. So
yeah,
nothing against Metal Gear Solid 2.
Yeah, it's all good. I was just giving myself an excuse to replay it. That's all it is. It's not even about oh, this would be fun to talk about. I haven't played it in a while. I want to play it again. I can do that anytime.
I mean, we could suggest it again here as well. So
either way.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where the emotes are. There we go. Seeing a bunch of there we go.
There we go. Lock it in.
Okay. We're playing The Force Unleashed.
I'd recommend that DLC where you go around and be extra evil.
I don't remember it because I played it when it came out, but
I know every time it's either Cheap Ass Gamer or Wario. Every time they tweet a deal on it, they say that there's a DLC where you murder Ewoks. I don't know why they point it out every single time, but that does sound.
Was it the first Force Unleashed or the second Force Unleashed where you get to fight a Jedi Leia?
Oh, I don't remember.
That's cool. I forgot they made a second one.
It is definitely not the first one, because the first one takes place before the Rebel Alliance kind of getting together. Because that's the ending of that game.
But in the DLC, you're basically playing Vader, Spot, and some of the Star Wars battles and stuff. So I could have been there, but I don't know what DLC they might have done for 2. I'd never even considered that.
Yeah, I just know the main story involved what's the main character's name? Starkiller?
Yep.
Yeah, Starkiller. Vader's just okay, first apprentice, that went bad, but I'm gonna clone him and this is gonna go good.
He's never the smartest guy.
Okay, first Death Star didn't work out, but we're gonna clone it.
I mean, if you've ever gone into the expanded universe stuff for Star Wars, they even do it in The Force Awakens, right? They make a even bigger Death Star for that one. They're always building giant shit that does bad things, and they're always getting.
If at first you don't succeed,
make it bigger.
try again.
Do or do not, there's no try.
I'm looking forward to this one. This one I wanted to go back and replay for a while. So.
Yeah. I'm excited about this. I'm gonna try out the motion controls with the Wiimotes.
Yeah, I do wanna play that version, but I'm gonna start with the 360 since I already have it. And then I'll check out the Switch version at some point.
No, and I think it's only 6 to 8 hours, so it's a nice short one too, which I think I will really enjoy that because I'm in between Stardew Valley and Elden Ring right now. So those are definite time suckers.
Yeah. Well, all right, y'all.
This has been fun.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for putting up with my last minute plans. Thank you for being accommodating. And yeah, this was VG Club, and I hope everybody listening has a wonderful day. Bye, folks.
Bye.